This is one of our little workrooms right here. She's only seen two parts of this very vast complex. And that's fine. Maybe there will be some other occasion when we can show her more, if she'd like. If she wants. But to be expedient here, we wanted to do what we needed to do in a relatively short period of time. So we just brought her and the car into the bay of the ship. And then we escorted her into this little room. And we'll escort her back out to the car, and back on down again. D, but she's curious about where you come from. Is it Ernie, 538, the custodian's place we could identify with our star maps or constellations? B, we're definitely within what can be seen on Earth's star maps. But we in particular, don't have one of those names more known to Earth. We know that people talk about Sirius and Lyra and Pleiades and Antares, Andromeda Galaxy, and various places. We don't have a name that Earth people will recognize. In fact, we don't even use a name for ourselves at all. D, that's what I thought. I have heard that before. B, it's all done by energy and vibration. That is, when we travel back there, which we don't do very often, it is an effort and a long way. We can hone in and find it, but not the way airplane pilots do on Earth. And our recognition is more in a sense of a vibratory frequency, rather than control tower people. D, of course, I'm speaking again in human terms, but you don't have a family you might miss and want to see? B, many of us have families right here on this very large craft. So we do see them. D, so they travel with you. B, they can go back too. Not everybody has a family here, but many of us do. My family is here. D, which brings me to the question of procreation. Chuckle, I'm curious about that. B, well, it's different for different types of beings. D, what a Dior type? B, from the Earth person point of view, we're more, in general sense, like an insectoid type. We don't think of ourselves that way, but we know many Earth people do. So we have more of an egg situation. We do not have the kind of copulation we are aware of that human beings have. In fact, human Earth people are very curious to us. That they can get into such a state of excitement when procreation happens the way it does directly between a male and a female. But in our case, our females generate and lay eggs, and we fertilize those eggs. And they're already out of there, investigating the investigator, 539, body of the female. So it's very different. We don't get together with our females the way people on Earth do. Insects are born with race memory pre-programmed through their DNA. They do not need to be taught or trained by their parents. So I think they are this type of creature. In other cases in this book, the beings sound more insectoid than humanoid. They said their offspring are born knowing many things. The parents do not bond with the young because they develop quickly into adults and need little training. D, what about the little gray beings? Are they the same way, or do they procreate in another way? Or do they need to procreate? B, there are many different kinds of little gray beings. I think Earth people tend to lump them all in one category. And really there are many variations. D, I have found that is true in my work, there are different types. B, I have to think about this for a minute, because I also work with some other types. These particular types of little beings that are around Bonnie right now do not procreate the way human beings do. They do not have penises and vaginas. D, they're not sexual creatures? B, no, they do not have sexual intercourse as human beings do in order to have pleasure or in order to procreate. With these little ones it is more of a laboratory procedure, of taking cells from these beings and mixing them. There are very subtle differences between male and female in these little gray ones. You do not see the differences bodily from the outside between male and female, like you do with Earth people. It's more of a genetic structure difference. So we take samples from them. Usually we take it from their protected tender places. It would be akin to what you would call taking a skin scraping, skin cellular samples. So one of the popular places to take that scraping is from under the, 540, the custodian's, arms of the male. D, like the armpit. B, the armpit, yes. That's a very protected area. And sometimes we can. D, I must interrupt you a moment. I have to tend to my little black box. You understand, don't you? B, I see what you're doing. I took the tape out and put another one in the recorder. D, we don't have the ability to remember everything that is said. We need a machine to capture the words. B, oh, yes, and that's what I was going to say. That we have, oh, rather like a patient tolerance for all of you on Earth who are so sincerely interested, as you are, and want to record and remember and be able to replay. And so it would be almost like you as an accomplished adult human looking at a child, and realizing they might have to add numbers by counting on their fingers, for instance, for a while. You are like that to us, but we do not mean that condescendingly. It's almost like a loving amusement slightly and a tolerance and acceptance. It's perfectly all right. D, chuckle, but we're doing the same thing, because we're trying to pass the information. And we want to do it in the most accurate way we can. We don't want to rely on our memories. B, yes, I appreciate that very much. So back to the reproduction. Sometimes we might take these samples, we call it the genetic material, from the surface of their skin. I'm talking about these little gray-type beings. And sometimes we take the sample from between the legs. Not because there are genital apertures there, openings, but because that too, being between the legs, is a place that's not open to all the air and dirt or pollutants or anything. It's more enclosed or protected. We have a room right here on our ship where we do that reproducing process. We take the investigating the investigator 541 scrapings from the males, and again, they are not enormously different from the females, but just enough. And we take it from the females and mix them together. We have very strict pristine laboratory conditions. And I suppose you would use the word breed, or you have fish hatcheries, don't you? Yes, and other kinds of facilities on Earth where you breed and gestate certain cultures, certain life forms. And we have the same. Except that we will breed the male substance and the female substance, the genetic substance, in controlled liquid situations, until we feel that life form is ready to come out of the fluid and live as a regular being. D, but this means this type of being cannot reproduce without the laboratory. B, that's right. D, it sounds similar to some of the cases we've had where some aliens have taken samplings from humans. B, yes, yes. Although in some cases, as I'm sure you are aware, and I know Bonnie is, they intermix the genetic material between the human male or human female with another species, and create a hybrid being. And different groups do it in slightly different ways, but sometimes that's done in a very, very similar way to what I've been describing. And sometimes, with certain groups, they will, well, the equivalent of what you would call fertilize the ovary, the eggs from the human woman. And then implant them back into the womb of the human woman for two and a half or so months of gestation. Maybe three at the most. And then we'll remove that being or that fetus, and place it in our particular protected environment again for the rest of the gestation period. D, what is the purpose of mixing the genetics of humans with other types of beings? B, our group, my group, does not do that directly. But I certainly am aware that some of the other groups do. And just like with so many aspects of these interactions between other beings and human beings, there are many different, 542, the custodians, groups doing many different agendas. And so there are groups coming to the Earth to take these genetic materials and mix them with their own, in order to perpetuate their own species, because they do feel they are in grave danger. In fact, some of those species do not even have their own home planet to live on any longer, and they are living on craft. And some of them send emissaries to the Earth to get the genetic material to keep their own species going. Some of the species have found the method that I was talking to you about taking the scrapings, the genetic material from under the arms or between the legs, for instance. Some species found that worked for quite a while, but is no longer viable. And they need other genetic material different from their own. After having done the interbreeding for such a vast amount of time, they're needing other genetic material from other species. and they're choosing humans. D, because it wasn't working anymore? B, yes, it wasn't working. Not enough of the offspring were surviving. One thing I don't know if you're aware of, is that some of the species doing that work with human Earth people, have also tried doing it with other species whom you would call extraterrestrial. Other species that do not live on Earth. And so there is, actually, even at this time, a very large range of experiments and experiences going on between some of these species who are doing this reproductive work, and, not only Earth people, but other beings from other locations in the universe as well. All in a great attempt, in fact, you would even use the word desperate, attempt to perpetuate their species. Wherever life is found, whether it's in the millions of species on Earth, or the many, many different types in existence elsewhere, it seems to be a basic common feature of life that each species wants to perpetuate its own. And, as you know from your animal kingdom etc., on the Earth, that species will do what they have to do to survive. So this is part of that outreach to survive for some of them. Now there are other, investigating the investigator, 543, agendas as well. There are species who feel they want to create a new species that can understand Earth people, by being part Earth human species, and the other species that genetically are being mixed for these offspring. These offspring will then be able to understand both species, the human Earth species and the other species, and be a more direct go-between. That is very needed. And that's a very big program. So there's the survival program, and there's the go-between or the ambassador program. Some of us refer to that as the friendly ambassador program. D. The problem is that some humans feel this is a violation, because they feel they have not been consulted. B. Yes. What they don't realize, and I do appreciate this, is that they are giving agreement. But so often it's not on a level that people recognize in their full conscious waking life. D. I understand that, because I've heard this before, but it's the ordinary person that doesn't understand it. Bonnie wanted to know, how do you choose the people you work with? Is there a selection process? B. We do it in various ways. And other groups do it in still different ways. So it's hard to come up with a simplistic answer. D. These are all very complex questions. B. Yes, and very good questions, for you to understand more of what you want to know. Some of us work more on that soul essence level that I referred to earlier. We can see through to the soul, the essence, beyond all the layers of overlay and conditioning of the Earth person. Those of us who tend to really look for that, tend to work with the person when the person is simply, although I shouldn't use the word simply, because it's all there really is, a soul level, a soul essence, before the person has even incarnated into this lifetime. We work with that soul essence before coming into this lifetime. And we have a wonderful telepathic rapport with the person, and with the helpers of the person. We tend to call those guides, spirit guides, 544, the custodians, and refer to the same as helpers. We talk with a person. This is all telepathic, but often they have a sense of seeing us in that state of being. We explain what we're doing, and ask if they would cooperate with us in that lifetime they're about to go to. We only work with those individual souls who say, yes, they will and they agree. Now just as with all the other things a person decides in that soul essence experience before coming into an Earth life, they usually do not remember when they're living that life. It's one of the differences between Earth people and some of the other species, like ourselves, for instance. But because we are closer to the essence of who we are and can see into each other in the essence, and can be seen that way by each other, we have much more clarity about our purpose than many, many Earth people do. However, some Earth people do have that sense. D. I understand, because I've heard this from other people I've worked with. But it's the average person that can't quite grasp it. B. That's probably true for Earth people. D. We are under time constraint here, because I don't allow my subjects to stay in this state too long. I'm very protective of the person. We only have a few more questions I would like to ask. B. I think Bonnie's doing fine. She's done a lot of regression work. D. She was wanting to know about herself. Has she ever been taken by any other groups besides ears, that may not have a high purpose? Has she ever been taken by any other kind of groups that were not positive? B. I'm not aware of that. I don't think so. The reason we were attracted to her is because we have been keeping an eye on many Earth people, and on our experiences. We are aware that she had been doing a lot of hypnotic regression work, and that she had been very, very interested in this. She had been talking publicly to many individuals about these experiences. You see, I think most people on Earth don't. Investigating the Investigator, 545, realize how much so many of us know about them, because we have this increased amount of sight, breadth, depth, longevity of sight and knowingness. We know infinitely more about Earth people than Earth people know about us, and keep our eye on certain people. D. Well, one of her other questions was, do you also take similar information from other regression therapists? B. Yes, yes, sometimes we do. And we do it in various ways. We're trying to get a broad picture here of how we and the other groups are affecting human beings. From our point of view, we would like to improve on how we interact with human beings, and personally, for our group, we do not want to cause distress, harm, fear, and trauma. We are aware that many Earth people, who do experience these things, become very distressed and very traumatized, and negatively affected. D. But as a human being, that's very normal. B. Yes. So we would like to have all of this done in a much more well-received way. We would like to have the Earth people benefit from knowing us, and having contact with us. We definitely feel that we benefit from having contact with them. However, I must hasten to say that in broadcasting what we find, for instance from Bonnie, there is the opportunity for less altruistic groups from space to use this information in a more self-serving way, from your point of view. It's terribly important that human beings come to realize there are other beings coming to the Earth and interacting with people, who are very self-serving and uncaring about the effects on people. But there are many groups that are very caring about humans, about the whole of humanity, and what humanity is experiencing in terms of negativity in their warlike nature. We're terribly concerned about their greed, their selfishness, and about what humanity is doing to the beautiful, living being that the Earth is. So there are many of us who have great concern, and would like to help as much as possible. But we know there is enormous prejudice on the Earth even about our, 546, the custodians, existence. D. Yes, and many think it's totally negative. But I've never believed that. B. Yes. And many don't even believe that any of us exist at all. D. That's true also. B. Which is perfectly ludicrous. So we're really up against a lot. There are some of us who would like very much to have good equal negotiations and contacts with people. And there are a few human beings here and there who would like that as well. But it's very hard, for those of us who feel that way, to adequately get together with the Earth people who feel that way too. So this experience right now is very prized, because we are very decently and openly talking with you as an Earth person. And you are very receptive. And it's all going very well. D. But I've done this before. That's probably why. B. Yes, and Bonnie's very comfortable with this as well. D. So we're not the normal. B. Very definitely not the normal Earth people in this regard. D. Can I ask you, have you ever taken information from me? Not you particularly, but some of the other groups? B. Yes, I believe some of our other kind have. I personally have not. I did not personally meet you until the last time we had this sort of experience with Bonnie. But I believe there are others who have, because you do know a tremendous amount about this. You will continue to work with people, and we value you very much for that work. D. I always told them I didn't want to see them. I thought I could be more objective that way. B. Yes. Well, we try to honor that sort of thing. Just as we tried that night with Bonnie to do this in a way that would not freak her out, as she might say. D. And not disrupt. B. No. We disrupted her enough so she would have to change her windshield, and then wonder about the experience. but we didn't harm her in any way. Investigating the investigator, 547D. That's very important. At least the information she's getting now will be very valuable to her in her work also. B. Yes. And I do want to say to that we are aware she recently had a very, very distressing event, again on the road, in her car, the same car. And we want you to know we had nothing to do with causing that event, that accident. But we were aware after it happened, particularly when she was lying there on the road, in her mind calling out to anyone who could be aware and anyone who could help. We're very proud of her for even thinking of us, and other dimensional beings who know of her. She asked for healing help, and I want her to know we're doing what we can to speed up her healing. And she's doing very well. She's going to be coming through this very, very well. Before the session began, Bonnie told me about a serious auto accident she had been involved in only a few weeks before. Her car was demolished, and the people in the other cars, more than one car was involved, were seriously hurt. Her injuries were mostly to her back, and it was still causing her discomfort. When we began the session, she was wondering whether it would cause distraction and maybe prevent her from going under. She positioned pillows around and under her back so she would be more comfortable. Of course, I knew that the relaxation of deep trance would relax the muscles and give her relief, rather than distracting her. D. That's very good. I know she appreciates your help very much. And it's very kind of her to do that, and to have concern over her. B. Yes. Well, we have concern because we have concern anyway. But also she's important to us and we want her to be all right. D. I know she will thank you for your help. All right. I think, on our end we are running out of time. We always have that time factor. B. I understand. That's very strong on Earth. 548. The custodians. D. So I'm going to ask that you leave us now. And I would like to speak to you again at another time. B. Yes, that's fine. We appreciate this opportunity as well. And thank you. We look forward to the next opportunity. D. So I ask that you recede and go back to your work where you live on your craft. And I'm asking all the consciousness and personality of Bonnie to once again return to this body. I then oriented Bonnie and brought her forward to full consciousness. When she awakened, she remembered only snatches of the session. She said her back felt much better and was not bothering her like it was when she first arrived. We knew it was because of the deep relaxation she had just experienced. Both Bonnie and I knew we would continue to work together because the entity was more than willing to share information with us. But that, as they say, is another story, another book. I am only including the portions here that I think pertain to the subject matter of this book. And to illustrate again how my work has proceeded gradually over 12 years from the simple to the complex, I have now opened the doors and the information will continue to flow forth. I only hope mankind will be open and adjust their minds to include these advanced ideas and concepts and integrate them into their reality. Such will the world of the future be composed of. The free thinkers, those with open minds who can truly accept and understand other realities and other dimensions. Those who have the ability to throw off the fetters that keep them chained to our three-dimensional way of thinking. Chapter 15, The Conclusion. The material in this book has been sitting dormant for over 10 years, waiting until the time was right to present it to the public. The aliens said I would not be allowed to write some of it until I had the entire picture. They did not want it given out until there was a full understanding on my part. As I prepared the material, I could see my viewpoint in the beginning of my research, and how naive it was compared to the way I look at it now. I could see how I was being spoon-fed bits and pieces of information, and only given more as I could comprehend and digest it. This is the way I wanted to write this book, to take the reader gently by the hand and lead him down the path of the unknown. Stopping along the way to give him time to smell the roses, and for the information to sink in before moving on to the next step. My research has led me from the simple to the complex, and I know there is much more ahead of me. When I began in 1986, I would have been overwhelmed by the theories I am receiving now. and if I was overwhelmed I would have thrown my hands in the air and proclaimed that this was better suited for physicists and scientists to comprehend and try to explain. In other words, I would have given up because the entire subject was too complex. But apparently they understood my 549, the custodians, curiosity and desire to learn and understand mysteries, and I was only given what I could handle at the time. Even when it became complicated, they gently tried to demonstrate with analogies and simple explanations, as simple as they could make it. Their patience with me has been phenomenal, and they never became aggravated. They were as anxious to get the information out as I was to write about it. When I first began working with MUFON, the hardcore investigators ridiculed the information I was receiving about using the power of the mind to propel spacecraft. They insisted the answer had to be in developing some type of fuel in order to travel to the nearest star. There was also the belief that the astronauts would have to be placed in suspended animation, because the trip would take so long. At the time they could not open their minds to alternative possibilities. Now in the summer of 1998 an announcement was made that could change that way of thinking forever. A group of scientists in Japan have proved the theory will work. They have invented a machine that harnesses the power of thought. They said scientists have known for a long time that thought is energy. That certainly was no revelation in my work, because I have been lecturing about that very concept for years. In the news program, the scientists demonstrated the machine, which was placed on the head. It looked somewhat similar to virtual reality machines. Amazingly, by thinking the person could turn lights on and off, start and stop machines, and turn on an alarm to signal for help. It was demonstrated how each type of thought created a different frequency, and this was amplified and used to control things in the room. It did not take strong concentration. The simple thought was enough to power the mechanisms. They said the first uses of this machine will be for the handicapped, but I can see much broader potential in the future. Another startling discovery. It did not matter what language the person spoke, the machine interpreted the thought, not the spoken word. They said, the thought's the thing. The Japanese have now shown a way around the language barrier, which is exactly the method the conclusion, 551, aliens use. I can see that it would only be a small step from controlling lights and alarms to controlling a car or a spacecraft with the mind. Scientists all over the world are also working on creating a way to propel an object faster than the speed of light. This was once considered an impossibility based on Einstein's theories. What was at one time considered science fiction has now entered the realm of science fact. Maybe we will look at the other claims made by the aliens as being logically possible. As I was preparing the final draft of this book, a special edition of Discover magazine came out in May 1998. It was devoted to the subject of cloning and the duplication of human beings. It could not have happened at a better time, if anything is ever a coincidence, because it caused some of the passages in the book to fall into place. At this time, the Scottish scientists had successfully cloned the sheep Dolly, and our scientists followed by announcing the cloning of calves and rhesus monkeys. The world, and especially politicians, were going crazy debating the ethics of cloning humans. They were trying to draft laws that could curtail this, or at least regulate it. It was like closing the barn door after the horses have escaped. Several laboratories in America and elsewhere have already announced they are working on the experiment, and expect to announce the first successful human clone within 2 years. They said, if it can be done, it will be done. This is the way scientific curiosity works. If science is presented with a challenge, it will take it up regardless of the consequences. Hundreds of people are lining up to be the first candidates. The scientists said the cloning of a human would be much easier than the cloning of a sheep. In the magazine article, it was reported that scientists in the 1930s first showed that cloning was possible. Then the research was dropped until the 1970s when frogs were successfully cloned. Then no more was reported until the recent developments with mammals. Do people really think that no one was working on this for 40 years? Do they really think that once the scientists made the first breakthrough in the 1930s that the research was dropped? I believe that research was continued in 552. The custodians, secret because they were afraid of the very outcry that is occurring now.